Today, Dr. Paolo and I will be discussing infections of the skin and extremities. Bacterial, fungal, and parasitic infections can occur in many places on or in the human body. Today, I thought we would specifically talk about those that are on the skin, arms, legs, hands, and feet, Bill. Some infections of the skin are pretty minor, like acne, diaper rash, and tinea, or athlete's foot, or ringworm. And those can be treated at home or with over-the-counter medications or when you see your primary care doctor. I thought we'd focus on the more difficult skin infections for a moment and then talk about some more life-threatening ones. So, you know, can you give us a rundown? Kind of what are the common things we see in the emergency department?
Well, we see a gamut of different skin infections, really, that run from viral, such thing as zoster, colloquially known as shingles, which is caused by the chickenpox virus that lives in your nerves for the rest of your life after you get it. And then after stress or immune compromise or various other insults to the body, you can then reactivate it. So we see those in what we call a dermatome, which is the area supplied by a single nerve. And what it looks like is chickenpox again, but it looks like it's only going in a line around the body or potentially around the eye, which is when we're more concerning. If it reactivates on the face, we always worry that it can involve the eye. So we want to see you sooner, either in the emergency department or at your primary care doctor, because actually the quicker that we treat you after you have those lesions or the appearance of them, the quicker we can actually make it resolve.
And that can be red, it can be painful, it can even break up. And you can even get, if you scratch at it or break it open, you can get a bacterial infection too. That's, so you can get bacteria and a virus.
That's right, that's right. What we talk about is looking like a dewdrop on a rose petal. So it looks like an elevated area with clear fluid. It's what we call a vesicle. So it's a fluid-filled pocket, and underneath it looks red. So that's kind of the chickenpox appearance that most people would describe.
Right. And what about, you know, the other thing we talk about is bacterial infections. And what about when they show up on children or even adults, you know, on the face? And impetigo is one of the things they talk about.
Yeah.
What is impetigo?
So impetigo is a staph infection that can occur.
Which means bacterial
it's a bacteria. Yes, it's a bacterial infection caused by the bacteria named Staph aureus. And it can occur anywhere. In kids, we mostly see it on the face. And we see it in kids with things like eczema. And we see it in kids who drool a lot because they have breakdowns in their skin. They have breakdown in their skin and their mucous membranes. And then it allows the bacteria that live on everybody's skin to then get in and infect. And what we call those are kind of honey-crusted lesions, because they look like the appearance of honey. It's actually the effects of some of the toxins that the bacteria forms, and it gives this reddish honey-colored appearance. If we see that, it can be treated a number of ways, sometimes topically, and sometimes it will require oral antibiotics as well.
So either an antibiotic cream or an ointment, or sometimes there is a need for a prescription, isn't there?
That's correct. Usually the antibiotic ointment that we use is a prescription strength, so we'll either use that by itself or in combination with an oral antibiotic as well.
So we mentioned parasites. You know, we don't usually think about parasites when we think of skin infections, but actually pretty common parasitic skin infections like scabies or pediculosis. And yeah, those are fancy words. Why don't you tell us what those really are?
Yeah, so scabies are a type of mite, really, that live, that can transmit from person to person, and they burrow underneath the skin. Usually what we see it is in between your fingers or in between your toes is kind of a port of entry that they get underneath your skin. And then they burrow and make more of them. So they make little eggs underneath your skin, as gross as that sounds. And then you get a reaction to it and you get very itchy because of the way your body's reacting to it. And you can see redness, scaling, and itchiness. And what we call burrows, which look like little red streaks that start from the area that they've entered. And we look for that area to kind of tell us what is scabies. Pediculosis, which you mentioned, is really another infestation that can occur usually in any area, particularly areas of what we see apocrine sweat glands, and that's in your armpit and that's in your pubic hair as well. So we can see little mites. The same things that cause lice really are the same things that we're seeing. It's just a matter of where you get that infection.
Right. So on the body, and you know, people are pretty familiar with head lice, but you can have it on your body and other places
as
well.
Yes, you can.
So, and then the other thing that's relatively common we see that really, really does need treatment, and sometimes, you know, the emergency department is the best place for this, is, believe it or not, is a paronychia and the felon, right? A bacterial infection. of the fingertip or at the edge of the nail. Tell the audience what we do with that.
Yeah, so a paronychia is a fancy term for an infection at the edge of the nail itself, whereas a felon kind of involves what we call the pulp of the finger, which is that fat part on the bottom of your finger where your fingerprints are. These are caused by any number of things, but what we see a lot of times are people who bite their nails, and it provides a nice portal of entry for a bacteria that already is living on your skin to get underneath your skin and start infecting it. A paronychia would look like a big growth, almost looks like an ingrown fingernail, and it's red, and sometimes it's draining kind of a milky fluid that we call pus, whereas a felon looks like a swelling of the entire distal part of the finger, which is the end of your finger, and you can see that swollen, red, and painful.
Yeah, and we'll have to, if that's the case, we have to drain those, because antibiotics alone won't usually cure those up, so typically you'll have to have an injection, unfortunately, so you won't feel the pain when we have to open that to allow it to drain, and then close follow-up would be required. If you're just joining us, I'm Dr. Derek Cooney, and Dr. Willem Paolo is joining me to discuss skin infections. We've just discussed some skin infections that need therapy, and we can treat those in the emergency department, but don't usually rise to the level of serious or potential life-threatening infections. I'd like to move on and talk a little bit about skin abscesses. And, of course, those are pockets of infection that have walled off and can become large, red, swollen, and painful. These are usually filled with bacteria and pus, like the paronychia that Bill was mentioning, and they don't respond to antibiotics alone either. And why is that? What makes them different than a regular bacterial infection that we treat with antibiotics?
Well, abscesses, as you mentioned, are walled off. So it means the body has tried to keep it in one particular anatomical location. And part of the problem of that is that the blood doesn't circulate there as well, so we have a little bit more trouble getting antibiotics to penetrate into that pocket that your body has made to protect itself. So in order to get to it, a lot of times we have to get to it through the surface, and that's through what we call an incision and drainage. What that means is that pocket of pus is not going to get better because it's filled with bacteria and toxins that the bacteria make and white blood cells. So what we do is we have to make a little incision and allow that a portal of entry to the surface to drain. And after we do that, we'll usually irrigate it out to get rid of all the bacteria, and then allow that to heal, because once you get rid of the bacteria in that area, that typically takes care of it without the need for antibiotics, because once it's drained, we've gotten rid of the problem and we don't actually need to treat it anymore.
Right. And when you come to the emergency department, you may need an injection to also numb that up. They might take a culture if it's something unusual, and a culture, of course, is to grow and see what kind of bacteria it is in the lab. We don't always do that. But you also might need to consider the fact that in some cases the abscesses are bad enough to require what we call sedation, so medications to sort of put someone almost to sleep to allow the procedure, and that sometimes occurs with children. In some cases and in some locations, abscesses are so bad that we have to call a surgeon and they have to go to the operating room just from an abscess, right?
Yeah, there's some particular areas that are worrisome, particularly in the groin, around the genitals, and in the abdomen themselves. And then there are those that can occur around the rectum itself. And these are particular sensitive locations because of where those tissues can communicate with. In other words, where the abscess can travel to. It can travel into the stomach, it can travel into the tissues around the groin or into the rectum itself. And we really worry about those areas in particular.
So those are abscesses. And then what about just redness of the skin that's from a bacteria and there's no abscess? That's cellulitis, right? We've seen that. You can see the irregular doctor for that and get treated. Some cellulitis, though, isn't what we call superficial cellulitis. It's deep. It's gone into the deeper tissues, into the deep parts of the skin. And sometimes you need more than just oral antibiotics. So what would we do if we saw that in the emergency department?
Yeah, so cellulitis is a superficial skin infection, so we can see redness and warmth with that. And we can treat that typically with antibiotics. That's caused, again, by the two bacteria, staph and strep, typically. Now, the deeper one that you're talking about that we worry about sometimes that people commonly referred to as the flesh-eating bacteria. This is what we call necrotizing fasciitis. A lot of times we might not see any skin infection at all because it's in the deeper tissue. So sometimes we can feel a little popping when we touch your skin because of the air pockets that form. And sometimes you just might feel really sick and have pain in a limb and otherwise look really sick, almost like you have the flu and have a lot of pain in the area where that infection is. And that, if you do have that, is very serious and will require you to see us and to see a surgeon as well.
Right, and that flesh-eating bacterial infection we call necrotizing fasciitis usually requires a lot of tests in the emergency department. There'll be a lot of fast work to get the patient to the operating room. And then, of course, the studies show that something called hyperbaric oxygen therapy, which we've talked about before, is a special modality not available everywhere.
Yeah.
Fortunately, in this community, we do have that at our hospital, and that improves overall outcome and morbidity and mortality, which is the risk of dying from this, a very serious infection.
Correct. In spite of the news reports about it and all the headlines about it, it's not that common. So we really worry about it in people who are diabetic, immunocompromised, or might have things like being treated for cancer. These make us more worried, though it can happen in people otherwise healthy, though it is very rare.
So if you notice something that looks like a serious infection or a redness or a pain, you may need to find yourself in the emergency department to evaluate for these serious conditions. Bill, that's all the time we have, and I thank you for joining me again.
Thanks for having me.